You should go ahead and hit record again, man, so you can edit some of this shit in. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos.
I'm Kent.
And we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, man. It's been a big couple weeks for us right here.
Oh my God, yes.
All right, well,
we missed last week.
We did. It was a matter of mental fatigue, bodily fatigue, and give a shit fatigue. So,
a lot going on the last couple weeks.
All right, well, man, what's been going on with you? Lay it out there.
I had a belt test for karate, and I ranked up. I'm a sixth coup now in Shotokan karate, which for the layman, the coups are basically the colored belt ranks. So it basically means I'm six promotions away from a black belt.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
So no more fighting with you over Zelda. Got it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, we'll have to talk about that on one of our shows.
Yeah. The one and only time we have come to fisticuffs in our relationship.
It's a relationship now. Yay!
Well, I figure after 25 years, it should be something like that. So,
my God, has it been that long?
It has, actually. It has. Quarter century.
We're getting old, brother.
Getting there and feeling there are two different things, because I'm feeling one even if I'm not already at the other. So what else happened with you this week?
This week I am in TAPS. Big milestone for anyone's Air Force career.
Yeah.
It's basically, for those that don't know, that's the seminar that we have to attend. It's a week-long seminar. It's a mandatory attendance for anyone that's getting out of the military. Whatever reason, you're getting kicked out, you're separating because your term is up, or you're retiring, whatever the case is. I am officially within a year of retirement, so I was eligible to attend, and I'm attending.
The TAP seminar is basically there to set members of the armed services up for success in their civilian lives afterwards. Resume writing, interview skills, LinkedIn, all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's good stuff. I just finished day 3 of 5.
Yeah.
And we did the resume writing today.
Oh, fun.
And it's really cool. I mean, it's way more than just learning to write a resume, 'cause you can go to a webpage and figure that out.
Right.
Or just open up, like Microsoft Word templates,
and hope and pray.
There's plenty out there. Right, exactly. But just some of the insight, a lot of the briefers have, little tips and tricks and things. And
right.
And just the resources. There's web pages after web pages, and we get all sorts of books. And
so you've got a full year, but you've got most of a year left to really put this to use and start looking at what you're doing on the outside, so... It's good of you to start that right now.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, if I retire when I'm supposed to, but when I'm currently set to retire, it's going to be 1 September of next year, which is just over 11 months from now.
Right.
But the thing is, that's my separation date.
Right.
Rewind about 3 months, probably, when I'm...
Because you'll be able to use the rest of your leave, some permissive TDY for house hunting and all that kind of stuff. There's little gimmies here and there, but yeah, so you'll actually be done probably right around June timeframe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Probably June.
Yep.
Well, depending on how much leave I take between here and there.
Right.
So it's coming up really quick. So I've got a lot to do.
Yeah. So
I gotta delete all the pictures from Facebook.
Just close the account, man. Close it down. Start a new one.
Yep.
Get the friends you actually want on there, not the ones that you've kept on there just for S's and G's, and move on with your life.
While I'm at it, I think I'm going to legally change my name and a petition to get a new Social Security number as well.
Well, yeah, there you go. Just to wash it away, right?
Yeah. Fresh start.
So, all right. Well, it's been a very busy week for me as well. Last week, of course, on Friday was the release of the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus. Went on sale Friday morning. I did not pre-order it, as we had discussed before. There was a little hiccup at the Verizon store, so that didn't happen. So instead, I went ahead and camped out for 19 hours outside the local Verizon store. Got there about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
You actually camped out?
I did.
Oh my god!
And yeah, it was interesting. I was actually the first individual camped out for the iPhone 6/6 Plus in the district, in Verizon's local district. So yeah, 19 hours of camping out. The next person in line got there about 7:30 that night. So for about 6.5 hours, I was by myself. Well, I wouldn't say I was by myself. There's plenty of people walking by and plenty of associates coming out and checking on me. And, you know, they brought me cookies and water, and it was a nice big thing. I was, of course, still first in line in the morning at 8 o'clock when they came in. And, I am now, I wouldn't say a proud owner, but I am now a legitimate owner of an iPhone 6 Plus.
Nice.
I'm sure we can talk about that more later, but overall I like it. It's a worthy upgrade. It's pretty nice. It is a little bit big. My wife decided to go ahead and get a 6 Plus instead of the 6 she had planned. We both got 64 gigabyte models. They only had one 128 gigabyte 6 Plus in the store, and the number two guy wanted to get it for his wife, so I passed up that so that he could get that, so my wife and I could both get 64s. And I like it a lot. I have a 2-minute review that was just broadcast on DTNS this week, which would be my next big thing. I submitted a review for DTNS on Tuesday, and it got played on the show, so I thought that was pretty awesome. This week I also, in fact, yesterday I cut the cable. I cut the cord. It's gone.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. It's gone. I upped the internet to, not the highest package, 'cause that was a little bit out of my price range. There's no point in cutting the cable if I'm going to jack up my rates that high, but, jumped up to the 50 megabit per second service. Speed test went from about 3 megabit, megabits per second download to 27 megabits per second download, so about 9 times the difference for about $15 more just for the cable or for the internet access. And cable's gone. I mean, we have basically a $5 package that gives us the main networks, and that's it. And that's just for Mom, because none of the rest of us watch TV. We all watch Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that kind of stuff. So there's that.
Congratulations.
I know. It's gone. And if it wasn't only $5 a month, I wouldn't have paid for the rest of it. But $5 a month is worth it, you know, to keep the rest of it going. So.
Oh, hell yeah. $5? Yeah. See, I would do $5. I don't currently have cable or a satellite subscription or anything like that.
Right.
I'm internet only at the moment. So I guess my cord is already cut.
Yeah.
But yeah, for $5, I could do $5 for basic cable.
Yeah.
I would do that.
And again,
provider
does not
offer that.
Yeah, it's only the first 20 channels, so you get the NBC, the CBS, ABC, Fox, and your a couple of Hispanic channels, and like the CW or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing really major, but it's all the big shows, you know. And if nothing else, it gives a reason to put the TV on and let some noise in the background sometimes. So
right,
you know,
right.
I'm down with that. So that would be my geeky thing of the week, would be all of that. So I'm sure the 19 hours camped outside the Verizon store to get an iPhone 6 counts as my most geeky thing. So we'll go with that for this week.
Yeah, I haven't even said my geeky thing of the week, but I think you won.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was a contest, but what's your geeky thing of the week?
Well, you know, well, I mean, come on. If we're both going to state, you know, what you did or what, you know, your stat for something or whatever, you know it's going to become a contest between
you. Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's all right. We can compare penises later.
Yeah.
So
that's a different podcast.
Oh, dang.
You weren't supposed to bring that up on this one.
You know, it all blends together after a while.
Yeah, well, I know you're going to edit this part out, so I don't mind saying that we have that other podcast, because I know that it's not going to be mentioned in what actually is. Anyway.
Who knows? Okay. I might be drinking while I edit this podcast, and therefore this end up in there, because I'm still getting them confused. All right, so what was your geeky thing of the week, man?
Well, see, I'm kind of cheating, because this is what I had for last week that I was going to talk about, but we ended up not doing the show last week. So this is my...
Oh, yeah. So I definitely won.
A week and a half ago. Yeah. If I had to say something for this week, so from last Wednesday to now...
I just go from last show to now, man.
I was just thinking, though, from last week to... Now, I don't really have anything, so I kind of have to go back to a week and a half ago. This was an interesting thing. I'm not much of a cook. Never have been. Ever since I became a single dad, I've had, by necessity, had to up my cooking skill quite a bit.
Mm. Right.
But I wouldn't call myself a good cook. But, you know, it's kind of fun to learn something new, to kind of, you know, do something that levels up your skill. But anyway, Stephanie and I, I think this was a week and a half ago, Stephanie and I decided that we were going to make a feast.
Hmm.
For Christmas, Stephanie got me a book. It's called A Feast of Ice and Fire. And... it's all recipes on how to make food that's in George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire.
Nice.
For you HBO fans, A Game of Thrones. In fact, I think this is a licensed product from the TV show. But everything that's in the TV show is right out of the books.
Right.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We made, let's see, the recipes that we made. I made a bread. First time in my life I've ever made bread.
Right.
It was a crusty white bread. Let's see. We made roasted oryx with leeks, but we didn't have any ox meat laying around, so we used beef.
Yeah, I can see that. Ox meat might be a little hard to get in New Mexico this time of year. You know.
Yeah, it's
not really in season right now.
Yes, correct. Let's see. We made butter carrots. It was pretty good. It was based on an old Roman recipe. It was really interesting. It was really tasty. Let's see. For dessert, we had lemon cakes, which, if you've read the books or watched the show, you know that's Sansa Stark's favorite dessert. And
right.
I don't blame her. It's delicious. And then we mulled some wine as well. We heated up some wine and put some spices in it and stuff like that. Oh my God, it was delicious. It was a lot of fun. It was a little bit expensive. Spent quite a bit of money at the grocery store buying all the stuff. It was probably $50 or $60 just for that meal.
That's what you'd spend downtown for a good meal anyway. So.
Well, that's true. That is true. But, you know, for a home-cooked meal, that's pretty damn expensive. Wine. Yeah.
Go to Applebee's and ask for some mulled wine.
We used a cheap red wine. I mean, not, you know, it wasn't like a $2 bottle or something like that, but it was an inexpensive bottle.
You know the best way to serve a glass of cheap red wine? With a cheap red dress. Gosh. It's like you don't put any thought into this at all.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Got it.
Note that.
Remember that one.
Yeah. Write that down somewhere. All right, so you guys had an excellent meal. I'm guessing you were both full and.
It was amazing, yeah. And we did the whole we did candlelight and everything. It was kind of romantic. It was just the two of us, but it wasn't for the romance. It was to set the atmosphere because we were basically pretending that we were in Winterfell or something like that.
Right.
Basically a medieval setting. We ate by candlelight and. It was just a really cool, geeky experience, but it wasn't just total geek because I was, learning more cooking skills and it was really cool. Right. But also geeked it up and
plus cool. Mulled wine.
Mulled wine. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Good. So. Onto our main topics of the week, because we do have a few things we wanted to talk about. With my iPhone 6, the size of the screen is probably the biggest draw and maybe one of the biggest detractions. It is very large. I'll give it that. It's considerably larger than the previous iPhones. In fact, the iPhone 5 will actually fit inside the viewable area of the iPhone 6 Plus. The whole phone will fit inside the viewable area of the 6 Plus. But on that note, the phone has gradually increased in size as it's gone along, from the first iPhone. And I found a nice little screenshot that I shared with you showing just how far it's come from the first iPhone to the latest one. I hadn't realized, maybe it's because I've had iPhone since the iPhone 3GS, pretty much had every model since then, how much of a difference there actually was in the resolutions. The original screenshot on a pixel per pixel basis only covers about a 15th of the screen of the iPhone 6 Plus. Now, I could do the math and come up with a real number, but what did you think when you saw that?
Oh, that was quite impressive. The resolution is just ridiculously better.
Yeah.
You need to post that to our subreddit.
Oh, see? Now you're
our listeners don't know that we have a subreddit.
Yeah, yeah. Let alone, anything's going on in there because it's not so far. It could be our first link. I will definitely post that in our subreddit. Eventually, we'll have show notes, and we'll be able to put that in there as well. Another thing I thought that I saw was a list of unannounced features on the iPhone. It's actually iOS 8. Some of these were really, really playing catch up to Android. Some of them were done in a way that Android hadn't done yet. So I'm going to go down these real quick, and I don't know if you've noticed these or not, but if you, just give me some quick thoughts on it.
Okay.
When the iPhone on iOS 8, all of this applies to iOS 8, but on your Find My iPhone screen, you can actually have it send the last location to the servers as the battery is dying. So when your phone battery dies or your iPad battery dies, right before it does that, as it's booting down, because anytime it gets too low, it boots itself down. One of the things it'll do during that shutdown process is actually ping Apple servers with its latest location.
That's nice.
I thought it already did this, so this is just Apple catching up with my idea of what I thought was already going on. but it's good to know it's there now. So another feature of instead of entering your credit card information, you can actually just take a picture of it and it'll put the information in there for you. I'm not sure how useful that would be for me because I use the same credit cards all the time. I've got the numbers memorized. So, phone calls over Wi-Fi. I think this would be awesome for people living out in the boondocks whenever it's enabled. T-Mobile already has it enabled. AT&T said they won't have it until later next year, and we'll see how that goes. I've lived in some places with some really crappy signal, out in the boondocks, and being able to call just a normal phone call over Wi-Fi, pretty helpful. Although most of the people that I talk to now are on iDevices anyway, so I can just, FaceTime them. One of my biggest things not knowing where your battery goes, you know, what's using your battery. And now they have on the battery usage screen that'll actually show you what's using your battery on your iPhone. Android's been doing this for quite a while, actually. I do like the iPhone interpretation of it. I'm glad to see they finally came up with this, because this is one of the things that I've been wondering for quite a while. And that's really the big ones. Anything on there that struck you on this Mac Rumors article?
Well, one thing that you skipped right over is something that I've actually spent a bit of time with, is Siri's capability to identify songs. Now, I've been playing for quite a while now. I've been playing with apps like this, Shazam,
SoundHound.
SoundHound, that's my favorite one. I play with that. That's an amazing app. And every time that they release an update, it really is making the app better. It went from a good app to a better app to a fucking amazing app to a way cool app.
Yeah.
It's such a cool app. This isn't a commercial for SoundHound, but that's just
I'll tell you what, one thing that really kills me about SoundHound, it used to be that if you were playing a song via Bluetooth from your phone, it wouldn't properly identify. I don't know if they ever fixed that. I stopped checking for it. No, in fact, I'm pretty sure they did fix it. However, now if like I'm a iTunes Match subscriber, so I can just, I don't have my songs downloaded. I just stream them, you know, my entire library. Mm-hmm. If you're streaming a song from iTunes Match, and you go to SoundHound that song so you can get the lyrics for it, the lyrics are unavailable. Mm-hmm. It will properly identify the song, give you the album art and all this stuff, but it will not show you the lyrics. That just...
Interesting.
Little things like that is like, why? Why? Why not just give me the service that I'm looking for?
Right. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I've always been able to get lyrics whenever I... Anyway. Yeah. The one thing, though, that was always kind of a pain with SoundHound was if a song is playing on the radio when I'm driving and I want to know what the song is, I can't legally use my phone to find that out, because I'd have to unlock my phone, open the SoundHound app, push the button. You can't do that.
Right.
Well, in most states, Texas probably has the same law. New Mexico definitely has a law where you cannot be touching and manipulating your phone while you're driving. One of the things that, you know, fixing problems that you didn't know you had, I guess. One of the things that Siri does now is I can just push my home button to open Siri and tell it, what is this song? Or name that tune, or something similar. What song is playing? You know, what, something just close to that. And Siri will use the Shazam service to tell you what song is playing.
That is pretty cool.
It's really cool, but something I had to test it, put it through its
paces.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's what I did.
Completely drew a blank. I was like, what is the cliched phrase that I'm looking
right,
for?
Right.
Anyway, so I had to put it through its paces. And so I tried a bunch of different random things. I you know, whistled or hummed a tune. I tried to sing. You know, I can't sing.
Oh, I know.
Tried to sing a song. played just like different sound clips, just weird things. And one thing that I noticed was, and this is, I guess, is more on Shazam than it is on iOS 8 or even Siri. But one thing that I noticed is it would take a guess. You could make a random sound. You could probably fart into it. It's going to take a guess, and it's going to guess some weird shit. Oh, I think that's...
Unchained Melody.
Opera number 6 from Mozart. It's like, what? It's going to guess something. Where SoundHound will just be like, you know what, I don't know what that is.
At least it's trying.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of humorous. It's kind of humorous to see some of the things that it comes up with.
There's a there's another feature that I forgot to mention that I've actually used several times that was made fun of in different on different devices in different ways for different iterations. However, you say that, you know, you're in your car and you've got to reach over and you hit your button, and that's still technically against the law, right?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's now a feature called Hey Siri that when your phone is plugged in, it will pull up Siri if you just say the words, Hey Siri, and then give it a command. So you could actually just have your have it plugged in the car and say, Hey Siri, identify this song. And a live test on the air right now.
Okay, so I have to go to settings, though. This is a setting that you have to turn on, I believe. Because I read about this, but I didn't...
You're talking about the Hey Siri?
Hey Siri, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's in the Siri menu.
Is it Siri? Okay, because I knew it was either Siri or accessibility. There it is. Allow Hey Siri.
There you go. All right, and we're back.
Yep, and so I just turned on Hey Siri. So I'm going to try it now. Hey Siri. What's my name?
You're Kent. But since we're friends, I get to call you Master?
Yes. I told Siri to call me Master.
All right, so let me try this real quick. You still got it plugged in and still got it on, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're monitoring the output, so I was going to say, let's see if it works here. Hey, Siri. There you go.
She's waiting for your command.
Oh. Who, me?
Oh, Siri.
Oh, right.
I've had hours and hours of fun. Hey, Siri.
Yes.
What's that song?
Hang on, let me listen.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, she's really
and the results are in.
Oh, she didn't even try that time. Hey, Siri. What's that song? La 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 la. Oh, she must have gotten smarter over the last couple of days because she's like, nope, not even trying.
She don't like you anymore.
Yeah, so that was a semi fail.
Oh.
But I wanna try this now. I have it sleeping, basically.
Right.
Hey Siri. She woke up.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've already played with this and tried it out.
Interesting.
I don't remember that from the beta, though, so, you know.
Okay. I bet that uses some battery because it's got to be constantly monitoring.
Well, think about it. It's only active when it's plugged in.
Oh, true story.
Yeah, yeah. See?
Hmm.
All right, so.
Hey, Siri. No.
No, that didn't no. Work.
I unplugged it halfway through, saying that she
don't like you anymore. I'm telling you.
No.
All right. So we discussed the fact that I stayed in line for 19 hours to get my iPhones, mine and my wife's iPhone.
Which is definitely the geek moment of the week. That actually is super geek.
It was actually a good time. So I found an article on Time.com actually, that it's in the show notes. And it's regarding iPhones selling for $2,000 on eBay. Some of the asking prices hitting as far as $6,000.
Oh my God.
And the reason this was important to me, the very last line of this, now it goes on to say, you know, it's selling for double the list price, even if you buy it at at full retail and how stores are minimizing it and they're trying not to sell it to China and this and that. The last couple lines on here, I'm going to read the last paragraph. And let me see. This is by Brad Tuttle on Time.com. And the last paragraph reads as this. Alternately, you could do the same mature and responsible thing and deny yourself immediate gratification. Just order exactly what you want and wait a few weeks for it to arrive, without paying a premium to sketchy online sellers and without losing any sleep waiting outside for a store to open. Or, God forbid, stick with the phone you have. Maybe it's because I was in the position to take a day off of work and go and sit in line to get the phones. Maybe it's because I'm an Apple fanboy and I openly admit such. Maybe it's because this is a first world problem and I'm right in the middle of it. I felt this was a completely and absolutely snarky way to approach this subject. Now, it's not presented as an op-ed. It's not shown as an opinion piece at all. It's shown as fact. New phones sell for $2,000 on eBay. Asking prices hit $6,000. That is the title of the article. And I can't, when I read this, and it was a fairly interesting article, but the last bit of it just twisted me all the wrong way.
Yeah, I can't say I'm surprised from Time. This is kind of what, I mean, they kind of do this all the time, where they put out these articles. They're well-researched. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but they're very personalized to the author. You know, usually, like, most magazines or news websites or, you know, newspapers or whatever.
Respective publications, whether digital or paper.
Right. Very objective reporting.
Right.
And with Time, Newsweek does it. You know, there's a handful of other magazines out there where they present a lot of good material, but if you read these publications all the time, you can tell who's writing the article by the style. Because you kind of get to know the style of the authors. And not only just their writing style, but also they put their own spin on things, and they add their opinion in there, even though it's not, you know, quote unquote advertised right as an op-ed piece. That's just kind of, I mean, you kind of got to expect it from Time, I guess is what I'm saying.
So as a person who doesn't normally read Time, avoids CNN and Fox News like the plagues that they are, and pretty much sticks to mostly AOL properties because they tend to have bought up all the tech publications out there. Yeah. Am I wrong to be offended by the underlying tones of this article? Or am I just taking myself too damn seriously?
Well, there's an argument for either side of it, I guess. What's silly to one person and important to another person? I mean, this is, you know, I mean, you kind of nailed it when you said first world problems. I mean, really, in the end, does it matter? It doesn't matter to him that you waited outside the Verizon store for your phone. And it shouldn't matter to you what this guy's opinion is. You know, would that guy think that it's a good idea to wait outside a store for 19 hours for a phone? No. To him, it's silly and stupid. To you, it was fun. You wanted the new phone. You got your new phone. It was an experience. Do you regret doing it?
Not at all.
Then there you go. It's okay. A completely worthwhile thing. So.
Right.
You know.
All right. So now we move on to the feedback. And we've only gotten one bit of feedback this week. It was from a mutual friend of ours, Jeremy. He's actually attempting to be a contributor to our podcast. Basically, he stated that while we have great audio quality, my voice in particular sounds like a a late night DJ on an easy listening station.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, though.
Yeah, sure. If you are wanting to fall asleep and suffering from insomnia, you know. I think I know what the problem was, and we talked about this pre-show, but I think it's a matter of I tend to quiet down because everyone else in my house is sleeping while we record. And but I'm in a garage, so I should be able to be as loud as I want. So hopefully the audio this week is a little bit better, although I'm going to get a little bit of fading in and out because my mic placement's a little different this week. That's going to be kind of irritating, but we'll figure that out. Most importantly, however, we got feedback. If you have feedback, if you're listening to this and you have feedback, you can always give us email us at ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. We would appreciate any feedback we can get.
Yep. Positive, negative, over the top, cool, good stuff. Scathing, horrible, you know, you guys suck. You know, we'll take whatever feedback you guys have. The more constructive, the better.
If you just want to email us an audio clip of you doing an Adam Sandler impersonation, I'm good with that too.
That works.
Yeah, you know,
I'll be entertained.
At this point, it's very likely to make the show. So,
yes, almost guaranteed.
All right, and that is our show for this week. Kent, how can followers listen to your exploits? Or listeners, follow your exploits. Or I'm going to get this outro down eventually. where can folks find
right,
you?
Right now, the best thing for people to do is to go to my Twitter @RM_DelNoche. Right now, there's not a whole lot going on there, but I would be more than happy to interact with you if you care to visit me.
Yeah,
on you, the Twitters.
Now you just opened up that Twitter account not too long ago. You actually opened up specifically for this show. So how many people are you following?
I think I'm at like 5 or 6 now.
Ooh,
I've got you, and I've got our show. Following our show, of course, mm-hmm. And let's see, George R. R. Martin, and I think everyone else I'm following right now is actually a Frog Pants. Member, so
well, there you go.
So my scope is fairly limited right now.
All right, so there's that. I'm Amos, and you can follow me on the Twitter at Ethan Kane. I think I'm gonna actually keep that for a while. I looked into changing it over, and it seemed to be a little bit more of a process than I wanted to go through at the time. So for now, it's at Ethan Kane. You can follow our show on Twitter @RM_podcast. Submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com, or email us at the email I gave you before, ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. Our music does come courtesy of Kevin MacLeod, and we appreciate you listening. So until next week, I'm Amos.
I'm Kent.
Peace.
See ya.
Alright, so let's check the ping again then real quick. Ready? Hip.
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 Hip. What the f*** are we saying?
I don't know. It's still like almost a second delay though.